Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, a vaccine might soon help you avoid tests and quarantines in Hawaii. American steamboats are back in the water March 15th, and United is investigating who leaked Ted Cruz's flight information.
We have a special show for you today, taking you to Oregon for a variety of adventures. First stop is Pendleton, in Oregon's cowboy country. Besides being famous for a big rodeo and great sweaters, Pendleton has a little-known underground city. Our Oregon trail trip begins at 3:20.
At 3:35, we head for the Oregon coast with stops in Coos Bay, Bandon, North Bend, and Newport. A hotel with ocean views, a grand aquarium, a botanical garden at the water's edge. These are a few of our favorite Oregon things.
Finally, our last stop at 3:50, Portland, home of great markets, craft beer, and the world's most beautiful roses.
A little travel news, a lot of Oregon. The next hour is all about the journey. Grab your boarding pass and head out with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to Paradise.
To Alaska, go north, the rush is on.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Travel Guys on a super sunny Sunday afternoon. Certainly happy to have you there and us here. And don't forget now, you can follow along and links to our special interviews and much more can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Good to see you, Mark. Happy afternoon to you. How's everything with sports, leisure, vacations?
Not too awful bad over here. There's a rumor that people might start traveling further than back and forth to the grocery store before too long. So that has us all doing somersaults here at Sports, Leisure, Vacations for sure.
I would imagine.
Yeah, we are. It's been a long time. Do you realize in about two more weeks it'll be a year since I took a group of people to spring training in Arizona? We got rained out on the day we arrived,
and that night they
announced that spring training was over, and we paid $200 a person to change our plane tickets and came back home the next afternoon.
Wow, yeah, I remember that. That hard to believe it was a whole year. And let's see, catchers and pitchers reported earlier this week.
They're in spring training, they're going to allow roughly 1,000 people into each game, depending on the size of the ballpark. Just so to give you some idea, the ballpark seat between 7,000, 8,000, and I think the Cubs Stadium seats about 13,000, 14,000. So it's literally 10% maybe of the 15% of the seats. But anyways, it's a start. The Giants and the A's are saying the same thing, that they are going to let fans into the stands as long as local ordinances will allow them to do so, that they're going to let limited number of people into the stands. So we'll just find out a little bit more about, you know, with this whole thing, it's don't get too out in front of your skis, because every day it's something new comes up.
Good way to put it. Is spring training where it normally would be for, let's say, the West Coast teams, the Giants and so forth?
They are. What baseball has done, though, is that, like in Florida, some of the teams play on the West Coast of Florida, some on the East Coast. They've changed the schedule so you're not going to the other coast. They've eliminated all the split squad games, so they don't have as many people moving around. So even in Arizona, they have limited the number of teams that people are, instead of playing all of the other teams in the area, you're only going to play a few. A lot of the fields down there house two teams. So anyways, we got a lot to do today, so we best get on to the travel news, I think.
All right, and at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And with that, here's Mark.
Well, so probably some of you have picked up on this story that Ted Cruz, a senator from Texas, took his kids down to Cancun. Had to turn around and come back fairly quickly because this didn't work out well for him. United Airlines is investigating the fact that somebody leaked Ted Cruz's flight information to the media. Quote, it's against United policies to share personal information about our customers, and we are investigating this incident. They told Politico. Politico also noted that tens of thousands of United employees have access to customer flight data to help serve customers, but leaks about individual travelers' flight plans are rare in the industry.
Well, did the leak occur after he had boarded the plane? I mean, or before he was even going to get on it?
Well, here
because,
was the
I mean, if he got on the plane, people that know who he is, they're going to see him and text a friend, guess who's on my
there
plane?
There were pictures and stuff. I think the rub on this from the cruise camp would be he got down there and he was apparently supposed to come back Saturday or Sunday, and he made a change on the morning after he got there and came home on a very early, he changed at 6 o'clock and came back on a flight that morning back to Houston. So somebody was able to access that information, because when he got home, he said, well, you know, he hadn't planned to stay down there the whole time anyway. He was just going to come back. Well, of course, that was a lie. And that lie became very obvious when someone had access to that information and was able to say, look, this guy changed this. This morning they had his name, a picture of his name on the upgrade list. So he kind of, you know, the old adage that some politicians have a hard time understanding, Republican, Democrat, anybody, and that is, when you're in a hole and you have a shovel, stop digging. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes the lie you told on top to cover the first lie ends up being the one that, you know, really gets you in the most trouble. Anyway, it's kind of humorous, I think. It's kind of the Gavin Newsom, you know, fancy dinner thing. It's like tell you to do one thing, and some of these folks think that they're a little bit better than the rest of us. So it's kind of fun when they get caught doing something that they shouldn't be doing. The American Queen Steamboat Company says they are going back in the water on March the 15th. The reason they're able to do that is that their boats are all smaller than 250 passengers, which is the limit on ocean-going cruises. Why they're not going yet, but American Steamboat is going back on the water. They're going to operate on the Mississippi, Ohio, and Tennessee rivers. The ships, which are, one of them is 245 passengers, will run with about 160, so about two-thirds full. They have all kinds of protocols and things that they are doing to try to keep people safe. So this will be a little bit of a test to see if this can be done with 160 people on a boat in the water, and my guess is that we'll know pretty soon. We mentioned in the headlines that Hawaii is working on a program to let vaccinated travelers skip quarantine. This is supposed to start on May the 1st. It will not include everyone from the mainland to start with, but hopefully they plan to gear it up fairly quickly. My suggestion to you is before you run out and make any reservations for airplanes or hotels or any deposits that you can't get back, make sure that Hawaii has not been real good at handling this whole COVID thing. So be careful. You might want to wait until a few weeks or a month after they say this is going to change to make a reservation so that they have a little bit of time to screw it up and straighten it out, just because that's happened a couple of times with Hawaii. And here's a Hawaii quarantine story that I found kind of interesting, Tom. Couple from Minnesota. She goes, let's see, where does she go? She goes to a drugstore and gets her COVID test. Mm-hmm. And Hawaii has a list of what they call trusted partners. So right. Her drugstore, I don't know what it was, Walgreens or CVS or something, is on that list. She gets over there. She walks through with flying colors. Her husband went and got his COVID test at the Mayo Clinic. Probably, arguably, one of the most recognized medical facilities, not only in the country, but maybe on the planet. Mayo Clinic, because it's in Minnesota, isn't on Hawaii's trusted partner list. The couple gets to Hawaii. He has to turn around and fly back because they don't offer testing when you arrive. He has to turn around and fly back to Los Angeles the next day and get a COVID test, pay for an immediate test, and fly back. So because the Mayo Clinic wasn't a trusted partner. So if you think you're going to beat the system with these guys who are saying, you know, you got to have a test and stuff like that, just do what they tell you, because if you don't and it doesn't work out, this guy had to sleep overnight in the airport and then make another round trip to Los Angeles. And as the story goes, he had already lost his mother, his brother to COVID and stuff. So it didn't turn out to be a very happy ending for him. But you would have thought the Mayo Clinic, that somebody would have yielded on that one, but they didn't. So what are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to do? The CEO of Marriott Hotels passed away last week, Arnie Sorensen. The only reason I mention it is because oftentimes CEOs from hotels wouldn't necessarily rate a mention. They might be kind of tarnished people that you might. But Arnie Sorensen was a little different. I had an opportunity to talk to him one time at a show. Just walked up and started a conversation. He started asking me about my company and how many of his hotels we used and why we used them. And it was a wonderful 5-minute conversation. I can see why, just based on that very small interaction, why many of his employees and stuff really, really, really are going to miss him. And the travel industry as a whole, he was very philanthropic and known as a guy who was very willing to give of his time and his money. And so he is gone now, and that's unfortunate for the Marriott folks. A lot of things are changing because of COVID. Here's one thing that may change. Remember those tiny toiletries? And they said, oh, man, this uses up a lot of plastic and stuff. We got to get rid of this. We're going to go to these containers on the wall. You just give it a squeeze, and it squirts out for you. Except now we're in a situation where, guess what? We don't want to be touching everybody out the places that everybody else is touching. Travelers United with a story this week that says, will a pandemic slow down the disappearance of tiny toiletries in hotels? So I guess we'll kind of see what happens with that one along the way. And finally, kind of a feel-good story. This has to do with a Texas grocery store. It doesn't have a whole lot to do with power. Tom, we were talking a little bit about this before we started. You told me that the HEB grocery stores in Texas are pretty big.
Oh, yeah. They pretty much own Texas.
Well, there was one in Leander, Texas. And this has gone kind of viral. You may have already heard about it. The power went out. They had a whole bunch of people in the store. They were shopping for stuff. The power went out. And so the folks, they had no way to be able to charge people for the groceries. So the manager of the store, realizing that folks really kind of needed this stuff, and it wasn't like they were looting, he let the people take all the groceries. So what happened was, a lot of the folks who could afford to pay for the groceries, they got online and they started paying it forward to a local food bank, which has taken in thousands and thousands of dollars in donations. I might suggest to you that the manager at the store, by doing the right thing, bought himself more free publicity in his community than he ever, ever, ever could have bought on his own. So congratulations to the HEB grocery store in Leander, Texas, that decided that it was just better to give folks what they needed.
Way to go, way to go.
And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, and it's our Oregon Trail trip today, my friends. First up, Pendleton in Oregon's cowboy country. It's coming up next, right here on the Travel Guys. Welcome. How you doing, folks? It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Pleasure to be with you today, and today we go north for a little bit. Mark, one of your favorite stomping grounds for you in Sports Leisure is not that far away, is it?
Yeah. For a long time, the Pacific Northwest was kind of a secret to about three-quarters of the country. They all went to Cape Cod, overpaid for really lousy accommodations, and stayed up on the coast there because they thought that was, you know, really cool, and that was the only place to go. But in the last 10 years or so, people have discovered that there are two coasts. And once they discovered that there were two coasts, then they discovered there was this big river, and it went out to one of the coasts. And they started following the river upstream and found some more really cool places there. Of course, I'm talking about the Columbia River, which runs between Oregon and Washington State by and large. And as you get up and the Columbia starts to turn north a little bit, you'll find cowboy country, Oregon's cowboy country. Mm-hmm. And the headquarters for that is Pendleton, which, of course, is known for the Pendleton Roundup and stuff. And we have with us Kristen Dollarhide from Pendleton. And what a great last name for somebody from Pendleton, Kristen.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
I mean, it sounds like a cowboy name, you know, Dollarhide.
I know. I get that a lot. It's like, where did that come from? I'm like, well, I'm not really sure. Somebody must have had a hide and a dollar somewhere.
I'm thinking maybe you changed that on the resume in order to get the job. Kristen, I should have asked you before we started, but what's your official title there in Pendleton?
Travel Pendleton Director. I do all the tourism and hospitality. I invite people to Pendleton.
Ah, well, that's exactly what we are here to do today. I have been in Pendleton a few times over my travel career. In fact, a couple of years ago, we enjoyed a couple of days there on a package that went up to Walla Walla and then down to Pendleton. And I'm actually hoping to do that again in early June this year. So if as we're talking about things here, if some of this stuff sounds interesting to you, why, you could go there with me.
Yeah.
Kristen, tell us a little bit about Pendleton. Yes. You've got this incredible cowboy history and, of course, the Pendleton Roundup there every year. How did all that come to be?
Well, you know, many years ago, 1910. You know, 1910 is when it all started here in Pendleton. The Pendleton Roundup was kind of to showcase our Western way of heritage and lifestyle. You know, kind of a frontier exhibition is what it kind of came to be. So after all the farming and ranching was done in early September, they all got together to kind of do a frontier show and who was the best cowboy and who could ride the best broncs and bulls. So that's how it all started back then.
Mm-hmm. And it's still going on today.
It didn't happen this past year. It would have been our 110th anniversary. But we're in full force for 2021. So everybody's planning and thinking and how we're going to do this and how we can make people safe and have such a great time here in Pendleton during the Pendleton Roundup in September.
And let me tell you that if you want to go to the Pendleton Roundup, make your hotel reservations in advance, because while there are quite a few hotels in the region, it's a really popular event, and so of course prices get a little bit accelerated. The further you're willing to drive to Pendleton for your activities in the day, the better hotel deal you'll get. Kristen, Pendleton has this incredible history, and one of the things that a lot of people don't know about is you have an underground city in Pendleton, which has a lot to do with the history of the city and all kinds of things like opium dens and cool things like that. Tell us a little bit about that.
So there's the Pendleton Underground Tours, right? Give tours of Pendleton's, do we want to say seedy or shady past? How do we want to say that?
Yeah, both.
So the tours, can be, you know, controversial. It talks about illegal gambling here in Pendleton, how the Chinese lived to help build the railroad in our region. Bootlegging, prohibition, prostitution. It's pretty amazing what happened here and what was underground. It was a history of legal and illegal businesses operating in the same area for over 100 years. You know, you walk through these tours and the tour guides, they're like historians, right? They're so entertaining. It's so interesting and so educational.
And we're talking with Kristen Dollarhide, who is with Pendleton Tourism, and we're talking a little bit today about some of the places that you can visit in Oregon. Also, when you say Pendleton, immediately, Kristen, people think of clothing. That is something that you can do in Pendleton.
Yes. The Pendleton Woolen Mills got its start here in Pendleton, and they are still producing the jacquard pattern. They're still producing blanket patterns here in Pendleton today. So during the week, you can take a tour. It's about 30-minute tour. It's a great tour. It kind of goes through the history of the Pendleton Woolen Mills and walks you through the process of how they take the sheep's wool from all over the world, and then they drop it down and they spin it. And it's just an amazing process to see. And we sure are thankful they're still here today making this product.
Yeah, it's a short tour, so it doesn't take too much time out of your day. Now, let me just tell you, shoppers, come over here for a minute. While these people are taking the tour over there or after you get done with the tour, the cool thing about going to the Pendleton store is that they have all the seconds there. All the things that have the little imperfections and stuff like that, a lot of it you can't even find. Before I let you go, Kristen, is there anything that we haven't talked about? I mean, Pendleton is such a cool city, and if you're the kind of person who kind of likes that cowboy vibe, the ladies that travel with me are always kind of excited when they get to Pendleton, especially if there are a few cowboys walking around in the streets.
Right, cowboy hats, cowboy boots. We're a town full of makers. You know, it's handmade every day. We have people making boots, hats, saddles, everything. One of the things I wanted to add real quick, Mark, is we have some really great accolades that we've gotten this past year in 2021. So voted top 10 Western town by True West Magazine, best of the West, best places to live like an old West cowboy. We've also been voted top 10 cowboy towns of 2020. Smithsonian.com named Pendleton one of the best 20 towns to visit. I mean, it's a cool town. It's just a cool place to be, a cool place to visit. We have great hospitality, and we would love to have you back. and love for people to come explore where we live.
She mentioned boots, hats, and saddles. And when we were up there a couple of years ago and on the trip we're taking this year, we have an afternoon where we spend a couple hours and we go to a boot maker and a hat maker and a saddle maker. And the folks that were with me a couple years ago declared that was just like one of the coolest things that they had ever done in terms of a local tour and being able to go into the stores and meet the people who made these products and stuff.
Cool.
That was really one of the highlights of visit. In fact, people who were on that trip still talk about it. So one of the advantages of traveling with a group of people is that sometimes you can arrange for special things like that. It doesn't keep you as an independent traveler from going to Pendleton and just going into a bunch of the stores and asking questions. And you might find something there that makes you into a little bit more of a cowboy. Kristen, I really appreciate your time with us today. Pendleton is just a great destination, and because it's up at the top of the Columbia there, at the bend in the river, there's all kinds of great places to see getting to you. And gosh, all the Lewis and Clark history is north of you there as you head up towards Walla Walla. So a great place to visit. Thank you so much for a little bit of your time, and hopefully I'll have an opportunity to see you in June in Pendleton.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me today.
That is really one of my favorite places, Tom. If you like just interesting, out-of-the-way places, Pendleton is it. And while the big rodeo is, if you're into that kind of stuff, that's wonderful. But I like going when there's not quite so many people in town and stuff like that. The springtime, late springtime, is a wonderful place to go, and Pendleton is not a real crowded city. So it's a great place, inland cowboy country in Oregon.
All right, we continue our Oregon Trail trip here on the Travel Guys right after we check into what's going on in the news. Next up, we're going to head towards, Coos Bay, Newport, and places further north here on the Travel Guys.
Call me a dog, call me a dog, call me a dog.
It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK. Thanks for joining us. We've been going north here on this program, and we're going to continue to do so. And got several interviews in this show today that you're going to want to be able to catch the link to and find out more. So simply go to travelguysradio.com to find out.
Well, Tom, thank you for that. We're headed to the coast, to the Oregon coast, and to the south central sort of Oregon coast. You'll find Coos Bay. Now, it's not an easy place to get to. You can fly there from Sacramento to San Francisco and on up to Coos Bay. There's a round trip once a day, or you can take off in your automobile and head up the beautiful Oregon coast. Or, of course, I might mention that there's a tour company in town that takes people on a tour that goes up the Oregon coast also. We are welcoming Janice Long Lanai. Is that right? Did I see that even close to right?
Very close to right. We pronounce it Long Lanai where I come from.
Long Lanai, okay. All right, Janice, we'll call you Janice. Welcome to the Travel Guys. Okay. Janice is the executive director of the Coos Bay and North Bend CVB. So she's a great lady to tell us about some of the things that are going on. For those of you who like to go out to the ocean, man, the Oregon coast is just one of the best places on the whole planet. The price of accommodations there are pretty reasonable. Janice, what couple of things that bring people to the Coos Bay North Bend area?
Well, you know, aside from the fact that it is spectacularly beautiful on this part of the Oregon coast, one of our top attractions here would have to be Shore Acres State Park. It used to be the estate of a lumber baron who founded modern day North Bend, which is the city just to our north. We're kind of symbiotic, Coos Bay and North Bend. Lewis Simpson had this estate on the Oregon coast on top of 80-foot high cliffs. And as he traveled, he brought back these beautiful plants from all over the world and planted them on his estate. This is now a part of the Oregon State Park system. It's called Shore Acres State Park, and there is a fantastic botanical garden right in the middle of a coastal forest. So it's sort of unexpected for those who have never been to Shore Acres to walk along these beautiful cliffs and see the Pacific Ocean and then turn around and walk a couple of hundred feet, and they're inside of a garden that's just stunning.
Tom, it's really one of my favorite spots because of what Janice was just talking about. You're on the ocean, mm-hmm. and literally 50 feet from there, you can be in this amazing botanical garden that was intentionally planned to have this fabulous variety. And then at Christmas time, they light up the place.
Wow.
And, I mean, it's worth driving to Coos Bay. If you're a Christmas freak and you love Christmas lights, it's a great place to go. But at the rest of the time of the year, you have these spectacular views of the coast. And, you know, if you happen to hit a day when it's fogged in, why, then you've still got this incredible botanical garden at Shore Acres. Okay, so what else do we have?
So just south of here in the little coastal community called Bandon, which is about 20 minutes from Coos Bay, it's not very far, they have a wonderful program called Washed Ashore. And it's a nonprofit. What these folks have done is they take all of this plastic and trash that washes up on the beaches from our oceans, mm-hmm. and they create amazing art from this plastic trash.
Wow.
And you can see their art all over the world. They've got sculptures everywhere, especially in Bandon. But the fun thing is that visitors to their facility can help make the art. It's a really wonderful program, and it helps get the trash and the plastic off of our beaches. And of course, it illustrates how much plastic is in our oceans.
Bandon is a great neighboring community to visit.
We have some great antique shops up here in the Coos Bay, North Bend area. Sometimes you find a treasure that you didn't even know you were looking for just by walking into one of these cute little shops that we have in our downtown areas.
Those are the best little treasures, the ones that you weren't looking for.
Tell me one thing that we haven't talked about, Janice, that if you had somebody who was thinking about coming to the Coos Bay area, what was the one thing that you would tell them, the reason you would tell them to come there?
Well, for one thing, I would say that this particular part of the Oregon coast, for some reason, is not as discovered as other parts. So we have a lot of space to spread out. So it's easy to social distance here in the Coos Bay, North Bend, Charleston area, which we collectively call Oregon's Adventure Coast because there's so much outdoor and indoor adventure here. But we have uncrowded beaches, hiking trails that if you see a dozen people on the trail the whole time you're hiking, that might be a lot. We have these beautiful waterfalls about 20 miles to the east of Coos Bay. We consider them part of our area that on multiple occasions, my car was the only one in the parking lot when I've been there.
It's a great coastal visitation place. And from Coos Bay, our next stop as we head up the Oregon coast is going to be the lovely town of Newport. Thank you, Janice, for your time today. Great, great, great place to visit, Coos Bay and North Bend, Oregon.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be with you guys today.
Mark, who are we going to be talking to there in Newport?
Well, Jennifer Morkert is joining us here. She is an old friend from, I probably shouldn't say old friend. I mean, she's been a friend for a while. I mean, she's not old, but
a long time acquaintance.
A long-time acquaintance. Yes. Thank you, Tom, for getting me out of taking the shovel and getting me out of that hole. Jennifer is connected to a hotel in Newport on the coast that you're about to hear about in just a moment, and she has been a good buddy for a long time. Jennifer, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Well, we're journeying around the state of Oregon, trying to give folks from California a few ideas of places they can come to. And really, Newport is kind of one of those places you could take off on a long driving trip from Northern California and go up the Oregon coast and stuff. Sports Leisure Vacations does that often. Or you could fly to Portland and rent a car and you'd be in Newport in what, a couple of hours?
Two and a half, three hours.
So.
Take your time.
Yeah, well, plus there's a zillion things to see and do on the way over.
Yes.
Right, that's if you don't stop anywhere, and there is
exactly.
So many things to see and do. My gosh.
You've got to throw through Berry Country on the way over, and if you go through McMinnville, you've got that's where the Spruce Goose is. And, I mean, you never get to the coast if you don't, you know, get your act together. But when you get to the coast, there's a place that you could stay there, a lovely hotel that's right on the coast in Newport. Jennifer, you know a little bit about this hotel I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. the beautiful Elizabeth Oceanfront Suites. Spectacular place to come visit, especially right now.
And why do you say especially right now?
You know, because we're situated right there on the overlooking the ocean, you have spectacular views. So even if it's a stormy day or if it's a beautiful sunshine, you can walk the beach and enjoy everything. But as the storms are coming in, the waves are crashing, and then you're in the warmth of your own private balcony, it's just spectacular to see.
I've been at your hotel when a storm was rolling in, and it might be as cool as watching a great sunset when there's no clouds, because it's just a cool spot. Newport is a great place, Jennifer. There are lots of things to see and do in Newport. One of my favorite educational attractions is in Newport, a wonderful cruise on the harbor. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, Marine Discovery Tours is a fantastic asset to the historic bayfront. They take marine tours along the bayfront, and if on a good day, you're lucky to get out onto the ocean and see some of our fantastic whales greeting you. And on other times, you can just go along the bayfront and then learn about all of the different fishing adventures that are going on. We have the Oregon Coast Aquarium is nearby, and there's the oyster field that they will educate you on all the different things, the hustle and bustle that's going on the bayfront in Newport.
I think one of the things that people remember the most on that cruise, people that I've been with, is at the beginning of the cruise, they'll drop some crab pots. And then as they're coming back in, they'll stop by the crab pots to pick them up to see what they've gotten and explain to you, you know, how big, because this is an educational activity, the cruise, and how big the crab have to be before you can take them out of the water. Otherwise, you have to throw them back in and all of that jazz. So it really is quite educational. The waterfront in Newport, Jennifer, I think is one of the neatest places on the whole coast. I mean, it's because it combines history. There's a Moe's restaurant. Actually, there's two Moe's down there. Moe's is, for those of you who don't know, is a wonderful little chain of seafood restaurants along the coast.
Oh, I Moe'd while I was there. That was excellent. Absolutely.
Yes, Moe's has really incredible clam chowder. Anyway, you're down there on the waterfront. There are some great places to eat down there.
Some of our attractions, like Ripley's Believe It or Not, and some of those other things, have undergone some major renovations and are just fantastic and definitely worth a visit.
Right across the harbor, you've got the Oregon Aquarium.
Yes, the Oregon Coast Aquarium is such an asset to Newport. And they work very closely with Marine Discovery Tours. Historic Nye Beach, which is right next to the Elizabeth, has upgraded.
Yes.
They've added some new businesses recently. So it's worth checking out, whether you're walking around and getting some great seafood and some of the charming little restaurants there. They've added a new facility that during the day they do great coffees. You can walk there and get some craft cocktails later that night that have all Oregon fresh things available, and cute little shops so that you can purchase some wonderful little things to snack on that you can take back to your room, like things like hazelnuts and some really fantastic chocolates. And then we've expanded on our property, our little outdoor area. So if you don't really want to walk around or go out onto the beach, you have your own little private beach, and we have fire pits available, and you're a little sheltered from any weather that might be happening. And we find a lot of our guests just love to, you know, maybe get some food and beverage and bring it back to the hotel and just enjoy the spectacular views from our fire pit area.
And maybe if you're traveling with your favorite tour company, why, you might find a special activity out on the beach in the evening with poor Jennifer running around trying to get it all together for her favorite tour company friends from Sacramento. Jennifer, thank you so much for some of your time and for sharing with us a little bit about Newport here. We're getting some wonderful recommendations from all over Oregon for our Northern California friends. And when they start hitting the road here soon, I suspect Oregon's going to be one of the destinations. I look forward to seeing you sometime in June, I hope. Our California and Oregon coast trip will be headed up your way. So be well until then. Tell all my friends I said hi.
I will. Thank you, Mark. And we can't wait to see you all.
Gosh, Tom, you know, I miss probably Oregon as much as any other place that I visit.
You know, I can hear the passion in your voice.
Yeah.
I can hear the kinship that you have with these people that you've gotten to know like family over the years in these different locations. You know, I had the opportunity to stay there in Newport at the Elizabeth, and they couldn't stop talking about sports, leisure, and you and the travelers that make their way there.
It's one of our favorite spots. Hey, listen, there's going to be some bumper music coming out of the next, after the break here. Before we go to our Portland interview and wrap up the program, there's going to be some bumper music I want you to listen to. It's probably going to be a song you remember, but it has a special significance to Oregon. And after the Portland interview, we'll tell you what it is. We are the Travel Guys. We'll be right back after this break.
You know you make me wanna kick my heels up and throw my hands up.
It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. We've been making our way up the coast in Oregon. We've stopped off at Pendleton, Coos Bay, and North Bend. Our last stop was in Newport, and finally, we arrive in Portland. Boy, you guys have been getting a lot of snow. By the way, links to all of our guests are at TravelGuysRadio.com. Who do you have with us today, Mark, from Portland?
Well, my buddy Greg Eckert is here to talk a little bit about what's going on in Portland. And Greg, speaking of, as Tom made reference to the weather there, did you guys get nailed in Portland, or did you miss the ice and all the fun?
We got a fair bit of snow. I live in Beaverton, just outside of Portland, near the Nike campus. We had a bit of snow. There is still some snow on the ground in Portland. We've had ice. We had folks without power and heat. So thankfully, people are getting kind of back to normal now. I know power is restored to quite a few of the population, which is fantastic because it did get cold and nasty, thankfully. Thinking of our friends in Texas, definitely, as they...
Yeah, for sure. So, speaking of getting back to normal... it's Portland has had a the whole COVID situation and stuff has brought some interesting times for Portland. How are things in downtown Portland these days? Give us an update.
Sure. Well, you know, as in many American cities, Mark, demonstrators definitely have taken to the streets in Portland in support of the Black Lives Matter movement following the murder of George Floyd. And most of those demonstrations have been peaceful. And they've occurred primarily downtown near the Justice Center, and they have tapered off a bit. And similarly, most of that violence that has occurred late at night.
One of my favorite things to do in Oregon, Southern Washington, is you guys have a lot of great markets and farmers markets in particular. And when the season comes and all the berries and all the produce gets in season, it's a great place to be. One of my favorite markets is across the river in Vancouver. One of my favorites is right in downtown Portland. It's called the Portland Market, and it's every weekend, right, Greg? Is it year-round, or is it just like 9 months a year?
Well, there are a few different markets in Portland. So there's the Portland Saturday Market, which is probably the one you're referring to. That's kind of the crafts market, which really is, again, that kind of high touch. You're connecting with local craftspeople, and that is nearly year-round. It is every Saturday.
Portland is known for its culinary, for places to eat. There are a lot of great restaurants there, but my favorite thing to do in Portland is the food trucks. There's a ton of food trucks in Portland.
Yeah. The food carts are such an amazing phenomenon, still going on, obviously, despite COVID. We have, last count, I think, was more than 600 and growing. We refer to them as food cart pods in many cases, and I know, Mark, when you visited, you've seen that. And those pods are going up around the city and throughout the metro area, including where I live here in Beaverton.
Greg, tell me, when folks come to Portland to visit, what's, besides the things that we've talked about, what's high on their list?
Really high on the list for me always in Oregon are our gardens. Specifically, you know, if we're referring to Portland in particular, the International Rose Test Garden in Portland at Washington Park is amazing. I'm sure you heard from Janice about Shore Acre State Park on the South Coast. But there's a lot of other lesser known parks. My favorites is in Eugene. It's called Hendricks Park. And they have 6,000 varieties of rhododendrons. We have another rhododendron garden here in Portland called the Crystal Springs Rhododendron Garden. Also amazing, just beautiful. There's so much to do here in Portland proper. I mentioned the gardens, but just the accessibility and the access to the outdoors nearby. And if you're using it as a base camp again, or as a jumping off point to visit, you know, another area in the state, be it Crater Lake National Park or anything, you know, further afield, it's a great destination for that as well.
Well, you've got, and there are a lot of choices. If you fly to Portland, we've been talking to our Pendleton friends. If you drive to the east, you'll find them. If you drive to the southwest, you'll find, anywhere to the west, you'll find the Oregon coast. You mentioned Crater Lake National Park, which we haven't spent any time on today, but is arguably the biggest Oregon attraction that is closest by automobile. Oregon, yeah. Greg, is one of my favorite places. I'm glad to hear that Portland is stable and folks are coming back there. And we're going to see, I think, a lot of folks from California headed to Oregon this summer. So we are going to post on our website at travelguysradio.com a list of all of the destinations, some of the attractions that we've talked about over the last 45 minutes, so you can go there and start planning your own Oregon vacation. Greg, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
So we talked about that theme, that bumper music that came up. Of course, that was Shout, a song that's been around for a long time. So here's how the story goes. Animal House. You remember the old movie Animal House, Tom?
Oh, yeah, sure.
They were looking for a university to be able to film that movie at. The gentleman who was the president of University of Oregon had been in Southern California when the movie The Graduate was being offered around. I think he was at USC. He turned down the opportunity to have The Graduate filmed on his campus, and of course The Graduate became a big monster film. He swore that would never happen again, so when they came to offer him Animal House at the University of Oregon, he convinced his Regents Board and whoever else he had to convince that they needed to film that film there. At the end of the toga party, one of the big songs they do is that song Shout. At the end of the third quarter of every University of Oregon home football game in Eugene, they play that song, and the entire crowd gets up and does the whole thing at the end of the third quarter. The song we played at the beginning of the Pendleton interview is called Coming Home, and that's the song they play at the University of Oregon football games to start the football game. Everybody gets up and sings all three verses of that. So anyway, just a little extra twist to give you a little bit more of Oregon and a few fun facts today.
You know, Mark, you mentioned along the way here again that Sports Leisure Vacations is looking at an Oregon trip in the future. If somebody's interested, should they check in with you guys?
They can go to sportsleisure.com. All of those destinations we featured today are places that we will visit at some time during the year. There's a lot of other great places in Oregon also we couldn't get to today, so we'll have to come back and take another shot at it. Thank you all for listening today and being with us. Dance like nobody's watching.
There you go, my friends. You stay well. We'll see you next Sunday at 3 on the next edition of the Travel Guys, travelguysradio.com.